Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's late at night and everyone's busy with lots of preparations for Pesach or packing to go somewhere where someone else did a lot of preparations for Pesach, as the case may be. But I'd like to do something that might be a little bit different than what you're expecting. You know, there are different ways to run a Haggadah Shir, so to speak. One is to share a few tidbits and things to add to the conversation, things to say around the table. And that's very important because ultimately it enhances our meaning and the understanding of the evening, and hopefully for those around us as well. And we'll try to do a little bit of that, but not in the same way that we would normally approach things. Because the other way that you can have Haggadah Shir is to, we'll say, create a new approach to look at what you're doing. And I'd like to combine both methods, and by having a different underlying purpose of the Haggadah, actually empower everyone who's listening tonight with the ability to inject their own chidushim and their own contributions to the Seder outside of the usual vortlach that we're used to hearing. And again, we'll spend 1 minute or two just to review what we said yesterday.
Hello?
As you recall, everyone please mute yourself if you don't
Hello?
Mind. Please mute yourself. Yesterday, we introduced the concept of the Rambam outlining what makes the mitzvah of the Seder unique, as opposed to what we do every single night of the year. I'm going to put that on the Zoom for everybody at home, but I'll read it slowly, so if you're in person, you won't miss anything. Don't worry. The Rambam says at the beginning of the seventh parak of Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah L'Saper B'Nisa Minaflos She'Nas L'Avaseinu B'Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamisha Asar B'Nisa. There is an obligation the Torah gives us to speak about the wonders, about the miracles, everything that took place for our forefathers on the night of the 15th of Nisan when they left Mitzrayim. That's what he says in Halacha Aleph, Halacha Beis, Mitzvah Lo Dia Labanim. It has to be not just something I read on my own and I tell myself about, as it were, but I have to discuss it with the people around the table. I have to pass it on to the next generation, and that's why it has to be done in a question and answer format. These are some of the things we highlighted yesterday to reinforce what makes the mitzvah unique. Besides that, we said, as the Rambam tells us in Halacha Dalid, you also have to start L'haskel B'Gnus U'L'Sayim B'Shvat, go back to the early periods of Jewish history about Avram Avinu's parents and Terach. Before Avram Avinu, everyone was just following after Avodah Zarah, polytheism, and then ultimately Nesayim B'Dasa Emes, we arrive at a discussion of the true belief, the true Emes of Emuna, and this is very important because the Rambam says Nesayim B'Dasa Emes. We conclude with a discussion of das means like ish das lama, not das, not intellect, dalid tuf, like dati. Dati means religion, right? So we start with our history as idol worshippers, Messiah, and we conclude bedas ha'emes with the true religion that we adopted. Shekirvanu ha'makom lo, that Hashem brought us close, brought us near to observe that religion. V'vdilanu min ha'tohem v'kirvanu li'chuda. And he separated us from everyone else who is disconnected from the true understanding of what a person is supposed to believe. And he brought us close to his yichudo, his unique monotheistic, everything that underlies Judaism. So what is Rambam telling us? If I would not have told you that line, we all could have easily skipped over that because this is not a theological, you know, lecture at the Seder, right? This is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why do we have to sidetrack Nesayim B'Das HaEmes and we conclude with the true religion that was ultimately entrusted with us, to us, when we moved from the early days Avram Avinu to the end of the story when we left Mitzrayim? Where did that come from? Is that really part of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Rambam doesn't tell us anything just for fun. He's programming what the agenda of the evening is supposed to look like. And I think that's so important because we spoke about yesterday the fact that the Seder is about passing on Emunah. So Emunah is complex. Emunah is not simply knowing the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's part of our, we'll call it our national history. But there's more than just the history. What we stressed yesterday was that Mesorah, passing on from one generation to the other generation, next generation, is part and parcel of what the obligation of Emunah entails, which is why Hashem introduces himself and gives us Emunah in the context of make sure that the experience of Har Sinai is something that is always shared with your children and your grandchildren and so forth. So it means that the goal of the Seder, as much as it is telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that story also needs to serve as a framework for passing on emuna. And emuna is more than just, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. If you ask the Rambam what it takes to have emuna, there's actually 13 things that you need to know. So our goal is 13-fold. Just made up that term, okay? But it makes sense in context. Your goal is just not the story. At a younger age, maybe you start with just the simple Avadim Hayinu, the power of Mitzrayim, right? That is the answer. The Mishnah Berurah says, and he's quoting earlier posts, he says, make sure that after the children say Manashtana, you don't whisk them away to bed, right? We've been gearing up and they took a nap and the whole week, you know, and they're getting ready to say the Manashtana, everyone claps and everyone smiles and, you know, it's a photo opportunity. If it's the second day of Yom Tov, the first day, you know, okay. But it's not just about that moment of Manashtana. It's very cute. But the Mishnah Berurah says, make sure you don't put them to sleep until you give them the answer. And the answer is Avadim Hayinu, Lepar Ben Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's the basics. That's Seder 101. But as that story, as the listeners become more sophisticated, and as we said yesterday, if you're on your own, you have to ask the questions and give yourself the answers, right? So we're also listeners. Even though we're speaking, we're the listeners too. And it means that the emuna that we're trying to connect with and we're trying to communicate and pass on, whether it be to others or to ourselves, is more than just emuna of I believe in Hashem or I believe that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. It's all 13 principles of faith. What's the basis for this? So I'm going to put this, I'll see if I can put this in the chat, but these are psukim which you've heard a million times. So even if we don't have a formal Mar Makoma sheet, you forgive me, I think we'll get by. We know that there are four cups of wine. The four cups of wine, if you look, you have to look in the chat box to see the pasuk. This is from Shmos Perek Vav. The four cups of wine correspond to Ve'otzesi, Ve'itzalti, Ve'ga'alti, Ve'lakachti. The four ways that Hashem communicates to Moshe what exactly is going to happen. I'm going to take them out and I'm going to redeem them and so forth. And the last one is Ve'lakachti. Okay? Ve'lakachti. Ve'lakachti ascham li la'am v'yisi lachem le'okim. I will take you as my nation and you will become, and I will become to you as a God. What's the end of the pasuk? There's no fifth cup over here, but the end of the pasuk says, "V'yadatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem," and you will know that I am Hashem your God. Knowledge, right? Everything else was experiential. I'm going to take you here, or there. You're going to get out of Mitzrayim, v'lakachti, wherever exactly is. I'm taking you, Beis, I'm going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. But v'yadatem is a term, part of that promise, part of what Moshe says. What Hashem tells Moshe, your mission is to make sure that the Jewish people know something. What is it that they know? They know all the principles that allows Hashem to be their God. And what are we clearly pointing to? The basics of Emunah. Okay? So this is where we're going. The B'nai Yisachar, quoting earlier sources, the Maharam Chagiz, says that the job of the leaders of the Seder, the adults, parents, grandparents, what we need to communicate is the 13 principles of faith. So that sounds like a tall order. Sounds like a tall order. However, I have to say, in our home, a few years ago, I don't know if it was COVID or the year before COVID, we started a game. The game at our Seder is, I offer $1 to each child for each one of the principles of faith that they're able to discover or uncover or demonstrate how it's woven into the discussion and the history of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're busy talking about and the Haggadah, so that first of all, if they have to know what the 13 principles of faith are to be able to look for them, and then they're shouting out. There's constant participation because I found this. And even if we reuse a few over the, you know, from one year to the next, great. That just means they're reinforcing and reviewing exactly what we're supposed to be doing at the Seder. There's a magnificent song. I know I've developed a reputation for sending links. I hope someone's actually listening to these songs. It's a magnificent children's song. It's written by someone named Rabbi Mordechai Dubin. I don't know who he is. He's an educator, songwriter, composer. And it's a fun composition for kids. If, you know, if your children are looking for ways to occupy the grandchildren the next couple of days and they want to put them in front of a YouTube video, this is the one to watch. It's 7 minutes long, okay? So you can watch it a bunch of times. There's an animation. I'll send out the link. But it passes on, I'll tell you, to the parents and the grandparents who are listening, the 13 principles of faith, because I don't know if everyone knows them as well as we should. So what I want to do is I want to take 5 minutes to review what the 13 Ani Mamans are, and then we'll spend a few minutes showing some highlights where we find them in the Haggadah. And as I do for my children, I'm challenging you. I'm empowering everyone here who's listening to sit with Agada before Yom Tov. You know, you still have a few days. You know, it's a long, no one has anything to do. You know, I'm sure you'll be sitting with your feet up Erev Pesach. But even at the Seder, once this becomes part of your prism through which you're seeing the Haggadah, things will jump out at you bigger than frogs, okay? And it'll become your MO as you travel through the Seder, through the Haggadah, and it's so easy to share. Oh, this is where we see this. This is where we see that. And you know what? Like you've heard a million times before, you can prepare a Shabbos HaGadol drasha, try to say it at the Seder, and it's just going to go over everybody's head. It's the powerful points that you can make in two sentences that people will say, oh, I got that, and keep going, that will ultimately build the experience that everyone is looking for without getting too hungry, okay, along the way. So let's, if you, I'll give a couple Siddurim. Hold on a second.
Just take one here. Okay, you got that here.
Can you find the fix after chakras?
74.
Okay, page 74. If anyone has the classic Yitzchak Yair All Hebrew version of the Art Scroll, you can find it. Page, what is it?
74,
but it's in the English Art Scrolls. And just about every sitter, following chakras, you'll find the Animamins, and I'm going to share it on the screen. Okay, this is a quick review for something that I'm sure we all know deep down inside of our heads and hearts and souls, but is always useful to review. Okay, so these are the 13 Animamins. They were not the wording that we're going to look at, not exactly the way the Rambam wrote it. They were summarized by someone a couple hundred years after the Rambam to consolidate the main points. Okay, I'm going to go quickly.
178
in the English, the Hebrew English Art Source. Thank you. Animamin b'munah shleim shaboris baruch shemo hu manhe gubor lechol abruim ulevado osav osav yasav chol meisim. The first one, simply put, is the knowledge that Hashem exists. Obviously, part and parcel of that is that he's controlling the world, and he alone, asa osev yaseh, did, does, and will do everything that needs to be done. We'll distill it as the knowledge of the existence of Hashem. Anochi. Number two, animamin ve'emun shleima shabaris baruch shemo hu yachid ve'in yachidus kamohu b'shum pano b'ulavado elkeinu hayahu ve'via. Hashem yachidus, the one and only God, right? Shema Yisrael Hashem elkeinu, Hashem echad, nothing else. No other deities, no other powers, it's all God. And God himself, being one, is inseparable. You know, like I'm one person, but you could break me into many different parts. Hashem is singular, absolutely one beyond anything that we can compare him to in this world. Number three, the Rambam continues, number three. Hashem has no body, no physicality, no corporeality. Okay, no image, nothing we can ascribe to him as some sort of picture or physical existence. Number four, animamin b'emunah shleima shaboris baruch shemo hu rishon hu acharon. Hashem is first and last, meaning there was nothing ever in existence before Kadosh Baruch Hu came along, and there will not be anything that could outlast God either. Number five, I know we're going quickly. I'll try to slow down a little bit. Animamin b'emunah shleima shaboris baruch shemo lo levado roi lispalal ve'im lezulaso roi lispalal. Hashem is the one and only being to whom we should provide any sort of worship, prayer, karbanos. There's nothing else out there that it is useful or appropriate to direct our tefillos to. Number six, animamin v'emunah shleima shekol divrei neviim emes. I believe in the concept of prophecy and the truth of all the prophets, everything that we have recorded from the neviim. Animamin v'emunah shleima shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom haisa amitis. Moshe Rabbeinu had the ultimate form of Nevu. Everything was true, but not just that it's true, but it supersedes and is more authoritative than any Nevi who came before him or afterward. Why is this so important? The Rambam made a big deal about this because obviously other religions purported that they had a Muhammad and they had, you know, you name it, fill in the blanks, they had someone else. And no, the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu above all any prophet who could ever come before or after. Number eight, animamin b'emunah shleima, shakol haTorah hamitzuya atov yadeinu ki anasun lo Moshe Rabbeinu ol Hashem. The Torah that we have is the Torah min haShemayim that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. It's exactly what we received from him. Number nine, animamin b'emunah shleima, shezos haTorah lo sei muchlepes, we'll say Torah acheres, meis haboris baruch shemo. Number nine is the fact that the Torah we were given is will never be changed, will never be modified or switched. Obviously, very important for the New Testament. Any religion that comes along and says, okay, that was then and this is now, we negate that with this principle of belief. Number 10. Animam ben Munah Shlema Shabaris Baruch Shmo, who Yodea called Maisa ben Adam, Bechol Machshavosav, Shenemar HaYotzer Yachad Libam, HaMeivin Al Kol Maaseihem. Number 10 is that Hashem is knowledgeable. He's aware of everything that humanity does and thinks. Anything in your mind, Hashem knows what it is. Anything you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of it. Number 11. Animam ben Munah Shlema Shabaris Baruch Shmo, Gomel Tov Lemisha Yishmor Mitzvosav, V'Yanish Lemisha Yavar Mitzvosav. Hashem provides reward and punishment. Schar ba'onesh, you do the right thing, you get schar. You do the wrong thing, there is a punishment. Number 12, animam ba'munah shleima beviyas hamashiach v'achol pishi yismameya afilu hachi achakalo, different versions, afishi yismameya im kol ze achakalo b'chol yom shiyavo. I believe that Mashiach is going to come whenever it is. I am ready for it, I'm anticipating, it could be any day. And finally, number 13, animam ba'munah shleima sheyia tchias hameisim be'eshe tal ritzon meis haboris baruch shemo, ritzon meis baruch shemo v'is'ala zichur la'ad la'netzach. And finally, number 13 is that there will be tchias meisim, there will be a resurrection of everyone who ever lived, and at that point and forward, the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will persist forever and ever for eternity. Okay? So that was a very fast review of some really important material. Okay? So as Hillel told the potential ger, Zil Ugmor, on your own time, this is something worth contemplating. A lot of people recite the Ani Mamans after chakras every day just to have that that awareness of the 13 principles of faith. What we're going to do now is, I have two tools. One is a Haggadah, the Simchas Yavetz, put out by Rabbi David Cohn, a prominent rabbi in Flatbush, well known for many things, a prolific writer, but also he's the, some members of our community may know him. He is the chief halachic consultant for Nefesh, the Orthodox mental health organization for mental health professionals. So his Haggadah happens to have, in two pages, a summary of how each one of these principles find their way into the Haggadah, and it's the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And also, I want to share with you a number of examples that Rav Schechter offered. This is a favorite topic of his when it comes to the Seder night. Some things that will help you see the Ani Mamans in places you never imagined they would spring up. And you know, if we had all 50 or so people in the room, I would definitely open it up for more audience participation. But as I said, this is for everyone here to take in and see what they can come up with. And I'm looking forward after Pesach to everyone's feedback. Let me know where else you found new insights into the Ani Mamans, the principles of belief that can be found in our Haggadah. Okay, so let's begin. Number one, we said knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, Anochi, that's number one, right? So at the very beginning, when Moshe approaches Paro, what is Paro's response? Mi Hashem, complete denial, right? The Medrash says that he had a yellow pages. All the gods out there, okay, he looked up, you know, Yud Kei Vav Kei, whatever it is, you know, I don't know if he looked under the Yud, he looked under the Aleph. He couldn't find Hashem. He said, who is this God that I need to listen to? As the story unfolds, and as we come to the end of Makos Bechoros, by Yikra LaMoshe Ula Aron Laila, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is being sought out by Paro. He's running around trying to find, by Yomar Kumu Tzumitoch Ami, and he says, get out of here, Gamatem, Gamane Israel, you and all your people, Ivdu es Hashem, Kedav Berchem. And now I acknowledge, you should go serve Hashem as you've been asking all along. So he goes all the way from complete denial to Hashem to now the declaration where Paro himself comes to the recognition of Hashem's existence. Very simple, but very, very straightforward. Okay, let's go on to number two. Number two was Achduso Yisbarach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's singularity, the one and only Hashem. So Reb David Cohen has a brilliant, this is, the kids got to pick up on this. The story, Maisa Reb Eliezer, all the Tanoim were sitting around the table in Bnei Brak, and they were Mesaper, B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Kol HaLaila, until their students came and told them, Higia Zman Shal Kriya Shema, it's time to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So that may actually offer new insight into what's going on in that story. They're saying to him, Rabosai, it's time, you have encapsulated all the principles of belief in your story that went on the whole night. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. If for no other purpose, they're highlighting this is the pinnacle of what you've been saying the whole night, the oneness of Hashem. In the story, Rav Shechter's example, as it appears in the Haggadah, in the Pesukim, right? Let's take Dayenu, right? So we say, Ilu Nosa Amanu Es Mamonam V'lo Asa Bahem Belohehem Shvatim, right? One of the highlights of everything that was going on as Jews left Mitzrayim was Hashem didn't just punish the Egyptians themselves, He punished their gods. The Medrash describes that if they had a metal image, a metal idol, it melted. Okay, the stone and the wood, it just burst and totally fell apart. Okay, so what's the purpose of that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by destroying the idols, the Avodah Zarahs of the Egyptians, that established that Hashem was the one and only God. The Korban Pesach, right? The whole point, Shabbos HaGadol, taking the animal and in their face, showing that we are going to slaughter the entity that you worship, right? That is the one and only Hashem. When Rabbi Becher spoke, and he spoke at all the Minyanim, he offered something that the early Minyanim, that he didn't say the later Minyanim, I got to follow him around, but he brought from the Mepharshim, very simple, like there's some unique things about the roasting of the preparation of the Korban Pesach. It's the only Korban that you can only cook it in one way. It has to be roasted on a spit, and it has to be roasted whole. You can't chop it up and then put it on the barbecue. Why? Because that's like the most flagrant display, okay? First of all, when you roast something, you smell it, right? It's not submerged in water. It's not boiling, but it has the most pungent aroma, and you're looking at it, right? You know, if you chop up a chicken, you know, you just see bits and pieces. This was abundantly clear. We are sacrificing you, God. That's number two. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are the one and only God. Looking further in the Haggadah, right? Ani Hashem, ani hu v'lo acher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm the one who brought the Makkah on, Makkah's Bechoros on the Egyptians. Ani Hashem, Ani Hu V'lo Acher. There's only one. Okay, that's once again tapping into the second one of the statements of Emunah. Just throwing one more example, Nishmas, which is part of our Haggadah, is chock full. Almost every line, if you're looking for it, you'll see references to these principles of Emunah. I'll give you an example. Umi baladecha ein lanu melech go el Moshiach ein lanu melech ela ata. Okay. Clearly, right? Nothing else. What those words mean is there's nothing else other than you, Hashem. And if you want for the kids, Echad Miodea, right? One is Hashem. Okay, that's an easy one. We should all try to figure that one out. Okay, let's move on to number three. Where do we see in the Haggadah the incorporeality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The fact that he has no body. Shechter said something ingenious. Remember the pasuk we said earlier? When Hashem tells Moshe, this is your job, Vidatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. You will know that I am Hashem. Right? The significance of Yediya, something intellectual, means that it's something intangible. You're not going to see that I'm God. You're not going to watch me. Hashem is careful to phrase it in a way that states, this is something that will be entirely in your mind. You will understand it, but not to have anything tangible. In Hallel, Atzabeim Kesef Bizohav, Pelahem Vloidabeu, right? We describe in Hallel the fact that idols have hands and feet and eyes and all of that is for naught. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world and he has no physicality whatsoever. Okay? And these are just examples. The more you look for it, the more you'll see the Haggadah is bursting with all these lessons. Number four, Hashem is Rishon V'hu Acharon, right? That essentially means that he's above nature. He precedes nature. Okay? He created nature. Some point out that the word Elohim is the same gemashia as Hateva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind everything that happens in nature. He can only be behind nature if he created nature, if he preceded nature. And if there was any one idea that Hashem wanted to convey to the Egyptians throughout the Makos, is that nature was completely in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control. You think about Barad. Barad was giant balls of hail that had fire inside of it. It was impossible, right? How could those two coexist, right? How does water totally, you know, switch to blood just like that and kill all the fish? Everything about the Makos demonstrated how nature was in the control, in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we're moving along. Number five, said davening only to Hashem. Davening only to Hashem. So the David Cohen says that's the Leficha, the paragraph that concludes that concludes Hallel. Anach lefichach anachlu chayavim lahodos lahallel. After we tell the story, we followed up by saying, therefore, we have an obligation to thank the one who provided us with the salvation, with all of these miracles, right? That who am I directing that to? I'm directing it to you and only you, Hashem, right? It's interesting. We say at the beginning of the Haggadah, if not for the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, then we would to this day still be servants of Paro, right? Anu uvaneinu v'nevaneinu avodim ayinu v'parah Mitzrayim. That's right. So everyone asks, is that really true? Come on, in 2023, you don't think even the Egyptians would have been a little more liberal, you know, an emancipation proclamation in the Middle East? You know, you'd imagine, you know, at least some, maybe, truth is there are definitely parts of the Middle East today that are not so emancipated, but, you know, you'd hope power would come around at some point. So it's true. It's true. We should not necessarily assume that if we had stayed in Mitzrayim, we'd be slaves there forever. But if Paro had let us out, who would we ultimately be indebted to? To Paro, not to Hashem. That's the pshat in that line of Haggadah. And that's the lefichach, that all of my worship, all of my tefillos, all my karbanos are directed to one and only to Hashem. And we stress that in the lefichach, after we tell the story. And therefore, it's to you, Hashem, that we're directing all of our tefillos. Hallel towards the end. It is therefore the obligation of all beings, all creations, to praise you and to give thanks to you. All the 10 different forms of praise, they all mean the same thing. A friend of mine once pointed out, you know, Eskimos, I think, have 50 different words to refer to snow and ice, right? We don't have that many. Right, but when your whole life is the igloo, you know, is the frozen tundra, so there's different facets, different aspects, and you have a whole vocabulary about it. So we have 10 different forms of praise because since that's our whole being in existence, that's the whole point of the Seder, is to engender that notion of thankfulness. So we can zero in nuances in all different formulations in the same way that the Eskimos have 50 different ways of talking about ice. Okay, so that's number five. That's the davening solely focused on Kodesh Baruch Hu. Number six is Nevuah. That one's an easy one. That's an easy one because the Haggadah and the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is filled with Kodesh Baruch Hu talking to people. It starts with Hashem speaking to Avraham Avinu at the Bris Meinah Masarim and foretelling the fact that your children will be enslaved for 400 years. Okay? That's very easy to see. That the Nevuah that Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, this is what's going to happen. And obviously the fact Roshachar added one knach over here, which is interesting. Number five and number six go together. Number six and number seven. Let's focus on davening is number five, and Nevuah is number six. The concept of the Nevuah, the Rambam emphasizes, is because there were peoples, there were individuals, philosophers whose position was that maybe there's a God, maybe there's intelligent design, but he's not interested in us. He set the world in motion, the clockmaker is universe of the Enlightenment period. He set the world in motion, and he doesn't care about all the details. We can do whatever. So Nevuah, that precludes Nevuah. Why would God bother speaking to the lowly human beings if he doesn't care what happens on a day-to-day basis? Once we accept and we see through the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim Hashem's involvement in every detail of the story, such as how he controls nature, how he's responding back and forth to every challenge Paro throws his way, Hashem is very clearly involved in everything that's happening every moment. Once we accept that Hashem does care about what's happening over here, it opens the door for us to also accept that Hashem is communicating with us. And he's communicating with us on Imam number six. On Imam number five, we can communicate with him. He's interested in hearing what we have to say, is a natural, logical extension of that. Okay. I see everyone's getting tired. Let's keep moving. Number seven. All right. We need to. Number seven is that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is above and beyond and authoritative more than any other Nevuah that ever occurred. Just a few examples of that. Aaron Achicha Yia Nevi'echa. When Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid to go before Paro, Hashem says to him, don't worry. Aaron is going to be your companion. He's your brother. He's your big brother. But he's going to be your second in command. Miriam. Also older than Moshe Rabbeinu, and she was a Nevi as well, but it was Moshe who was calling the shots, right? We see later in the Midbar, she was critical of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem came and vindicated Moshe Rabbeinu's behavior to say, you know, Miriam, don't think you're on his level. He is head and shoulders above every Navi who could ever exist. That's how we conclude the Torah. Lokam Kemoshe Od, Lokam Navi V'Yisrael Kemoshe Od, right? There never was another Navi before or after Moshe Rabbeinu. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's word goes and he's identified even amongst the leaders of the generation highlights how Moshe Rabbeinu's word sticks. Okay, number eight. What was number eight? The fact that we receive the Torah at Har Sinai, right? That's also an easy one. David Cohen points out right at the beginning, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenosan Torah Lamo Yisrael, right? We say right at the beginning of the Haggadah that Hashem gave the Torah to us. Okay, where else do we see that? In the, again, the conversations in Yetzias Mitzrayim, when Hashem tells Moshe, you're going to take the Jews out, he also tells him what the purpose of taking them out is, Tavdun Osi Ala Harzeh. You're going to come back to this very same spot. The place where Moshe encountered the burning bush was also Har Sinai. It was Choriv. So he says, you're going to come right back to this spot. That's going to be your sign that you were sent on this mission because I will meet you here in another 49 days after you take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and I will give you the Torah here. So part of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim includes looking forward to Kabbalah Satorah. Also in the Haggadah, as we quote a pasuk by the Esther Makos, by Yiru Ames Hashem, by Aminu B'Hashem, Uve Moshe Avdo. Right? They believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they also believed in Moshe, the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was a unique belief in Moshe and what he communicated to Jewish people above and beyond every other Navi. So that's also in the text of the Haggadah. That's actually, Rabbi Becker pointed that out, that's the only time that Moshe Rabbeinu's name appears in the Haggadah, just sort of Derech Agav comes up, you know, along the way. It's not really the focal point, but Moshe's name is in the Haggadah. Reminds me of, I think they once tested, you know, in the days of Deep Blue, they put, what's his name, Kasparov, the chess champion, right, against the Deep Blue, against the IBM computer, to see what it wins. I think the computer won, right? So a few years later, when the Bar Ilan database came out, the computerized, database of all Torah, they said, let's take, I think it was, I don't know if it was Rav Avad Yosef or Chaim Kanievsky. They said, okay, we'll challenge them. We'll say, how many times does it say in the Torah, Moshe? So he gave an answer, whatever the answer was. And they checked it on the computer, and the computer had two more references to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they said, Chaim, what happened? The computer beat you. No, you don't understand. The computer is referring to Umiyos Miseh. Mem sin hey, it looks the same as Moshe, but it's not Moshe. Okay, so he beat the computer. So you have to know the vowels also. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to number nine. Number nine is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah will never change. It's immutable. So the idea over here, David Cohen points out, is the fact that the Torah never changes, and that is referenced by the fact that the Chacham. Tell me what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you. It's thousands of years later, and that line in the Haggadah will never expire, will never be out of date when we're asking what are the same things that the Jews were commanded on the very first Pesach when they were about to leave Mitzrayim. We're doing the exact same mitzvahs right now, and we're still asking questions about it. We're still describing what the reasons behind them are, like Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Kol Shlo Omer, Shlo Shlo Dvarim, Elu, right? What is the current Pesach about? What's the Matzah about? What's the Mar about? Nothing has changed. We're doing the exact same process as the Jewish people did when they left Mitzrayim. Look at Echad Miyodea, right? When we get to number five, who knows five? Five books of the Torah, six books of the Mishnah. It's exactly the same thing. We didn't convert it into one New Testament. It's all the exact same structure and curriculum that it was when it started. Okay, we're almost there. Number 10. 10 is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what people are doing and what they're thinking. That's also easy, right? Because Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu what Paro is going to do, right? You're going to tell him this, and no, he's going to say no. You're going to tell him this, and he's going to harden his heart. Or I'm going to harden his heart. Hashem knows exactly what's in everybody's head. Likewise, I think it's in Arov, Hashem says that when I bring the Makkah, Laman Teda Kini Hashem Bekerav Haaretz. I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's firmly embedded in everything that's going on in human existence. I know what's happening. I know what people are thinking. I know what they're doing. You can't escape me. There's no way to get away from it. This is similar to what it says in Megillah. How do we know that Megillah's Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh? Because it says, Vayomer Haman Beliba, right? Haman said, oh, who does the king want to honor more than me? Well, how would we know what Haman is thinking? Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Mordechai and Esther what he was thinking. Okay, so anytime we see in the Haggadah, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is predicting what's going to take place. That's because he's involved in all these details and knows what's happening. Number 11, Schar Ba'onesh, going back to the Brisbane of Isarim. Avram is told, Hashem predicts, the Agoy Asher Yavodu Don Anochi, I will judge the nation who oppresses the Jewish people, and I will punish them. And that's the Eser Makos, right? Eser Makos, not just Eser Makos, but Mida Keneged Mida. The more you study the Eser Makos, the more you see how each one was calibrated such that it was precisely corresponding to something that the Egyptians did wrong or that Paro did wrong to make sure the message gets across. So it wasn't just Mida Keneged Mida, it wasn't just Schar Va'onesh, but it was the ultimate form of Schar Va'onesh where everything was specific to whatever the Egyptians happen to deserve. Okay, number 12 is Animam Bemunah Shlema, the Vias HaMashiach, right? So we're talking about the future. How does Hashem identify himself to Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem is asked by Moshe, what am I going to tell them when I go tell Klal Yisrael we're going to leave Mitzrayim? Who should I say sent me? Ekeh Asher Ekeh, I will be who I will be. And Rashi interprets that to mean, just like I was with you in the past, I will be with you in future Golos and future Geula as well. Nishmas Kol Chai Tavarech HaShimcha, the whole theme is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us, and in the future he's going to take care of us as well. And we say Shvoch HaMoscha Al Goyim. The Salvechik pointed out, why are we asking Hashem to destroy the Goyim? Why are we asking him to destroy those who deny Hashem's existence? Because that's what's holding back the Geula, right? The Geula is the ultimate purpose of the Seder. I heard once from the Neverminsk Rebbe, that's one of the reasons why we break the matzah in half. Yachatz, half of it we save for now, and we put away the other for later. Also representing the fact that there's a future. This is half of the Seder is about the history, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the other half of it is what's going to be in the future. Even the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu that we recite at the end of Magid with the second cup of wine is very heavily focused on what will be in the future, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kein Yagi'enu L'moedim, right? We should be there in the Beis HaMikdash. And like we said yesterday as well, Kol Yimechayecha L'rabos Yimos HaMashiach. Okay, so again, Mashiach and the future Geula is interwoven into the story of HaGadah. You'll see it all the time when you're looking for it. And number 13, the final principle of faith is Tchias HaMesim. Okay, this is a tricky one. Where is Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, in the Haggadah? So I think it's fair, based on the pasuk we quoted before, if we incorporate Kriyas Yamsuf, which is very clearly referenced in the Haggadah, Oz Yashir. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Chelek, Gemara asks, give me a source in the Torah that there's a concept of Tchias HaMesim, and one of the first examples brought is Oz Yashir. Right? Unlike our simple understanding of that pasuk, Oz doesn't mean then, it means then in the future. Oz Yashir, when we're at the final Gula, then there will be a song. Okay? It refers to future times. Yashir is in the future, right? The Maram Chagiz, who is one of the sources for this whole concept of looking for the patterns of Emuna in the Haggadah, says as follows. He says that, you know, we don't believe in spontaneous generation. That was debunked by Louis Pasteur. And we find in two instances in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim where there's spontaneous generation. Almost. Spontaneous generation in our terms is like Tchias HaMesim, right? You take something that's not alive and you bring it back to life. When Moshe goes before Paro and Aaron with the sticks, turns it into a staff, right? Turns the staff into a stick, creates a living being out of something that is lifeless. He says that was more than just telling Paro that, watch this, you know, magic trick, abracadabra, we're going to turn a staff into a stick. And perhaps that's hinted at in Chagadiah. How does the Seder end? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Shachat L'malach HaMavos, demonstrating Hashem's dominion and power over death. That is a reference to Hashem's power and our belief ultimately in Tchias HaMesim. We also say in Hallel, Es Halech L'fnei Hashem Be'artzos HaChayim. That's David HaMelech, right? That's why they call the cemetery in Beit Shemesh, they call it Artzos HaChayim. Because even though they passed on now and they're buried, but Artzos HaChayim, we're looking forward to the future when they will be brought back to life. So that's all meant to cover every single one of the 13 principles of faith. So I know this might have been like a crash course and a whirlwind, okay? But again, the main purpose was to open our eyes to noticing things that are already in the Haggadah, that are already in the stories of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're going to be reading them during Kriyas HaTorah over the course of Yontif. And more than you ever imagined, there are references to these 13 principles of faith. I encourage you to take a look in the Siddur, review those animamins, and as you're going through the Haggadah, as you're going through the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, make sure to inject and bring out these principles of Emunah, to share them with others, to share them with the next generation, because that is the main purpose of the night. The story, everything that's included in the story, and everything that the story can communicate, it's also a framework for which we can draw from to make sure that we highlight these animamins and that they become part of our kishkas, part of our neshamas, year to year at the Seder. Chag Kasher v'Sameach. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody who's in Hillcrest over the course of Yontif. Those of you who are going to be traveling, we'll see afterwards, Mirtz Hashem. And you can still reach me up until Yontif if there's anything that I can be helpful with. Always looking forward to hearing from people. Chag Kasher v'Sameach.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.